This is CNT Talk. Every week, two friends debate the issues of the ages as we agree to disagree. It's never politically correct, but it's always entertaining. Join us tonight so you can sound knowledgeable at work tomorrow. We're smacking you upside the head with the hammer of truth. Welcome to the show. Hello, hello. Welcome to the show. I have to get out right away. I got your comments with the emojis, folks. I got them. I want to thank Buttercream78 for the wall cling with the emojis. That was, well, my daughter loves that. And I would like to send an emoji response, but I don't know what to send. So if somebody can tell me what I should send as a thank you emoji, please tell me, because I don't know. I've gotten abuse all week about the emoji
thing. I've been studying. Well, I hate the emojis too.
I know, but I said I'm an old crotchety old man.
Both,
I can't get it.
We're both shouting at the clouds.
Apparently, I'm the only one that got the grief. But thank you.
No,
I got some.
I got some texts. I got some texts with the emojis too.
Yeah, so it's been fun. You know who you are. What you've said. Okay, I accept it. I don't know what you said in the emojis. They're still. I don't understand. So hopefully, it wasn't a message you're trying to get me to.
You know, have
understand.
You ever seen the? They're called the Gashly Crumb Tinies by Edmund Gorey. Have you ever heard of this?
No, no idea.
So actually, you should look them up. I think that's what they're called. And it's sort of these very macabre illustrated children and they're like alphabets. So it's like A is for Alice killed with an awl.
Oh, I think I've heard, is that
yes.
That's an old thing.
Yes,
isn't it?
And L is for somebody like who drank lime, and then it's like it's this desiccated, like it's very very lime. Dark. But the reason I mention this is because I really wish someone would do some similar Gashly Crumb emojis.
Wow!
So that, and I would use those.
Yeah. They'd be more obvious.
Like these, you know, like the smiley face with the knife in the head or something.
Yes, that would be interesting.
Right.
I don't think those would be universally acceptable, but sure. We'll have to see.
I think those would be more appropriate. I may actually have to market those. I will come up with them and market them, and then I will become wealthy beyond the dreams
that would
of
be
avarice,
great.
And then we will not have to do
that would be great
anything
too.
Anymore.
That would be awesome. I will say this. I am the old guy who, when I text, I actually use complete sentences. There I am.
So do I.
Because I think that's the only way to get your point across is to actually use the words.
No, see, that's not my reason. My reason is because I simply refuse to write in the newspeak or whatever it is.
As a lawyer, you have some shorthands, but you're not going to put them in.
Actually,
a brief.
I don't have shorthands.
You have long hands.
I don't. This really doesn't have anything to do with being a lawyer. This is again just my apparently congenital crotchety old man self that existed since I was popped out of the womb.
Nothing wrong. I use punctuation in a text.
Yeah, I know.
Properly punctuated things. So. We got your emojis. Thank you.
No,
we appreciate it.
I welcome more emojis. They don't bother me.
They don't bother me because I don't know what you're saying. So I don't know if I should be bothered.
My daughter loves sending me emojis.
Yes.
I don't mind my daughter sending them.
My daughter had an emoji birthday party this past weekend.
Yes, I know. In fact, I had a friend of mine, a good friend who listens to the podcast, and he had speculated whether you would survive the emoji party.
Barely. I will say that barely. It was not a theme I would have chosen. It was not an event I would have hosted.
Was there an emoji cake?
There was.
Oh, my. Everything was. Emoji plates?
Emoji plates, emoji streamers, emoji wall hangs,
wow.
Emoji. Somebody came in and helped them paint emojis on a canvas. So they had paint and they're all different smiley face emojis and different
stuff. It's just too much.
It was way more than I could handle, but thankfully.
And then
over.
They watched the emoji movie.
They did. They did watch the emoji movie.
You know, it's like emoji overdose. You have to render.
They
you
loved
have to
it.
Give them.
There was 6 to 10 year old girls. They loved it, but I could deal without it.
Yeah.
We played Pass the Poop. Pass the poop emoji instead of pass the hot potato. Yeah, that was not my choice.
Wait, you were participating in the pass the poop?
I was the music director on
you've
that
been,
one.
Yes, you've been.
I was co-opted.
You've been thoroughly emasculated now.
I felt like it that. My wife, if you're listening, please don't judge. I love my daughter very much.
Yes.
Let's move on before I get into more trouble, shall we?
Yes, we shall.
So I want to play something that is the theme for tonight's show. The theme.
Good. This
so
will
see
be,
if you can pick out
the
theme of tonight's show.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. At no point in your rambling, incoherent response, were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought? Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
One of the best lines ever from a movie.
Yes.
Billy Madison, Adam Sandler. That was his start of the downfall of his movies, but it's still great.
You're right. That was the beginning of the end.
I think it was his first movie, too. Anyway, last night, we've been getting some emails about Stormy Daniels, and we haven't really talked about it. Last night, she talked on 60 Minutes.
Yawn.
Yawn, exactly. And it's not because I don't – how do I put this? I'm not happy that Donald Trump – and first of all, I think he had an affair with her. I don't think there's any question he had an affair with her.
Well, we know this.
But I don't know this is news. This is just statement of fact.
And how often can we say he's a pig?
Yes.
He is whatever label you want to put on him. He has low character. All of these things are known.
I'm not supportive of him or his actions in this
apparently respect. The timing was that he did this very soon after his child was born. Yes, it's all repulsive.
Well, didn't he cheat on his first wife with his second wife?
Right.
I mean, it's not like this is a shock to anybody.
So anyone who supports this behavior, they need to have their head
examined. Well, a lot of people say you can't support him as a president and not support his personal behavior, and I don't agree with
that. Most of those people that are saying this the most loudly supported Bill Clinton, so I refuse to listen to them. And by the way, I need to make this clear that this is not whataboutism.
Right.
Have we talked about this? See, whataboutism is the argument that says, well, they did it too. No, I'm not making that argument.
No.
My argument is Donald Trump's a creep and has low character. However, because you didn't think the other person who behaved actually worse than Donald Trump. And by the way, Donald Trump did this when he was a citizen, not in the Oval Office.
That doesn't condone it, but
presidency. So in other words, the other person who did this was actually the president.
Yes.
And the people that are now shrieking in Victorian era angst about this, who for years lectured people about being prudes and Puritans and get out of the bedroom. I don't care what you have to say because you have no credibility whatsoever. Zero. Mm-hmm. I refuse to listen to you. You're not actually outraged about this. You're just using this because you hate Donald Trump.
Exactly.
That's not whataboutism. I'm pointing out that you, the person who didn't care and now is feigning outrage, cannot be taken seriously by even a single atomic vestige. I don't care. So I don't want to hear from NBC News, and I don't want to hear from all the talking heads. It doesn't matter. Now, if you ask me as a Christian, do you condone this? Of course I don't.
No, not at all.
But this is, again, the reason I didn't vote for the man. And if you're telling me that, therefore, you must renounce all of his works, well, no, I'm not going to do that either because he's in the Oval Office. There's nothing more that I can do about Donald Trump as a citizen except in 2020, evaluate, is there another candidate that I like better? And I suspect on the Republican side,
there
very well may be.
Hope there is.
I'm going to evaluate him going forward based on it. This happened 12 years ago or 10 years ago. What else are we supposed to say about this?
Well, here's what I would say is, same thing you said about Bill Clinton. I wasn't happy then. I'm not happy with this. I'm not like pleased. Oh, it's a Republican, so I'm okay with it. If this was George W. Bush or even Barack Obama who did this, that would be newsworthy. Not good newsworthy, but it certainly would be surprising based on what we know about each man and their marriage. It is not surprising about Donald Trump. It's sad, but it's not surprising. So therefore, to me, it's not really news if it's not surprising in any way, shape, or form.
Well, and the other argument that they're trotting out is this ludicrous, it's a campaign finance violation. First of all, my response to that is, under the tortured definition of what they're claiming, basically what they're saying is the individual contribution level is something, I don't know, it's like $4,000.
Yeah.
And this was $130,000 hush money. By the way, does that surprise me either?
No. Not at all.
No. But if you're going to make the argument suddenly that we've realized that this sort of thing is a campaign finance violation because it was used to potentially influence an election.
Oh, geez.
Well, my point is, wait a minute. We have a very obvious campaign finance violation. If the measure is you spent money in excess of the individual donor limit to influence an election, Chad, now put that into your template and see if you can figure out where that might have occurred recently. Someone spending lots of money to influence a presidential election. What do you come up with?
Was HRC involved?
Huh. That's actually a good guess, because I think we've readily established that the DNC and Hillary Clinton, through Perkins Coie and Fusion GPS, paid millions of dollars, maybe hundreds of thousands, for the dossier itself.
They paid more than $4,000.
To someone for the explicit purpose of defeating Donald Trump. So where were all the legal beagles that have now decided that? Well, that so again,
care. No, they didn't care.
I'm not going to listen to you because I don't believe that you actually think this is a campaign finance violation.
You had the Access Hollywood tape that came out right before the election. Why would this have made any difference? If you weren't swayed by that, you weren't going to be swayed by this. So it wasn't really changing anybody's vote. Did he give her hush money? Probably. Because who wants bad publicity? I don't know. I don't care.
And these are the people whose entire worldview consists of telling other people there are no moral absolutes. How dare you judge? Everything is a power construct. It's about my truth. And I'm supposed to listen to these people now lecturing.
You sound like Oprah.
About, yes, exactly. Oprah, her truth. These people are now going to lecture America about how awful Donald Trump is. Well, wait a minute. You people decided what the rules were.
Well, we're going to get in our last story. We're going to talk about how Donald Trump isn't everything he's supposed to be. He's still a Democrat at heart. So,
well, he's never been a conservative.
And that's the point. So we'll get to that in a second. Big Spring School District in Pennsylvania came out with a solution to not put guns in the classroom, but they're going to solve the problem. Do you know how, Tony?
Rocks.
They got a 5-gallon bucket of rocks in each classroom.
Now, by the way, let's put it this way. It's not going to solve the problem, but it's a sight better than telling the students to get behind their desks.
Get behind the desk and cower in fear.
Give them something. Fine. You want to have a whole class throw rocks at the guy? Is that likely to work? Probably not.
Probably not.
on the likely to survive spectrum, better than curling into the fetal position.
Agreed. It's doing something without necessarily introducing the weapons.
Yeah, so I don't actually want to make too much fun of them for this.
I'm not making fun of it. It's just ironic that it's a bucket of rocks.
Yeah.
Okay. So that just something to think about. Maybe other schools can look at that. There's a tooth Fitbit coming that you could get put on your tooth that will actually tell you what food's going in your mouth. So if you need that, it's coming, Tony.
Wait, I don't understand the concept.
They glue a sensor to your tooth that then sends information to your phone that tells you how much food you've eaten, calories, everything. It's coming.
It's coming.
So if you're looking for that, if you can't put the fork down, this will help. It'll tell you exactly what you've eaten.
Wait, where is it? So it's sending it to your phone?
Yes. It's a sensor put on your tooth.
It's giving you these alerts. You've become Mr. Creosote.
Exactly.
It's like the klaxon warning.
I guess
goes
it could
off.
Do if you're smoking
that
too.
That is your 47th consecutive potato chip.
I guess
you are reaching critical mass.
It's a news roundup, folks. I don't make them. They exist. Last in the news roundup, Scotsman Mark Meachin. You wanted to talk about that?
Oh yeah. Well, no. This is again along our series of Orwellian speech suppression, and I think the reason this interests me is because I always want to make people aware that this stuff is actually going on in the real world. Mm-hmm. So this guy lives in Scotland. That's part of Europe, enlightened Europe, and they don't like thoughts and opinions that offend people. And by the way, what this guy did is he apparently taught his pug, his cute little dog, to do a Hitler salute. Now, he says he did it to annoy his girlfriend. Frankly,
did it work?
I don't know. I don't care whether the man is flatly an anti-Semitic creep. This man has now been charged and arrested for a crime.
What was the crime?
The crime was violating, and this thing is actually called like the Communications Act of 2000. I mean, again, it's right out of 1984. The Ministry of Tolerance and Microaggressions drafted this thing, and the man will be serving jail time for posting video, again, of a dog doing a Hitler salute.
It reminds me of the girl who got suspended because she chewed her Pop-Tart in the shape of a gun.
Yeah.
That's
and so the point is, now, of course, this is Scotland. This is going on also in England. We talked about before, there's a guy that was serving a year in jail for posting what was deemed Islamophobic, and I don't know whether it was or it wasn't. Again, I don't care if it's the most hateful, vile, noxious, disgusting, reprehensible thing. It is speech. And the most important thing about protecting speech is that we protect the speech that most offends and appalls us, mm-hmm. because it's easy mm-hmm. to protect speech that we agree with.
Sure.
But this also goes on in Canada. Canada yeah. is a huge...
They don't have a freedom of speech law, do they?
No, they actually prosecute people for saying things that make other people unhappy.
Yeah.
And if you know anything about Mark Stein, who's a very, very mm-hmm. prominent and talented writer and conservative, he spent years in court litigating against the czar of bad think or whatever. The point of this is that if progressives have their way in this country, and of course we have a bulwark right now
sure.
in the Constitution, but they're no fans of the Constitution, and they're certainly no fans of the First Amendment. They're selective fans of the First Amendment, and they want to protect things only that they agree with. They will continue to do exactly this. If they had their way right now and had the political power to do so, you would be facing criminalization of many of the things that you and I talk about
on
this podcast.
Yep. Yep.
And so I just want people to realize that this is not some sort of scaremongering.
No.
This is very normal what's going on mm-hmm. in civilized Western Europe.
It's not talked about much.
They're
you're
putting
right.
people in jail for posting videos of dogs doing a Hitler salute.
And how do you know it was a Hitler salute? Did he say it was a Hitler salute? He just put his paw out.
I don't know. Maybe he trained him to bark, you know, Sieg Heil or whatever. And amazing. By the way, be clear. I'm not minimizing anti-Semitism in any way.
Not
it is disgusting. But putting people in jail for posting videos, that is a long way down the road. That is what totalitarian regimes do. And here's the thing. They don't stop with the Hitler dogs.
No, they
okay?
Don't.
They continue with the Christians and the videos promoting patriotism and all sorts of things.
But not Muslims.
Well, whatever, but all sorts of things that the well-intended commissars decide is just not acceptable. Mm. And what you will probably find is that you may be cheering this on for the speech that you don't like, and then you'll suddenly discover, hey, guess what? They didn't like my speech either.
They did not. That's okay.
So we're just be aware. We even talked about this. California, they want to criminalize pronoun usage.
Yes.
So this is already here, and yes. it's going to keep coming.
Pronoun usage. Who knew it could be a jailable offense?
Yeah.
Go back to your English. So let's move on to Crazy Uncle Joe. Okay, still a theme here. Remember the theme. I want to play Crazy Uncle Joe in his own words, and then we can talk about it.
When a guy who ended up becoming our national leader said, I can grab a woman anywhere and she likes it, and then said, I didn't make a mistake, but they asked me, would I like to debate this gentleman? And I said, no. I said, if we were in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Yay! Yay for Joe!
There's more.
I should have said that. But then I was told that's just locker room talk. Well, I've been in a lot of locker rooms my whole life, and pretty damn good athlete. Any guy who talked that way was usually the fattest, ugliest SOB in the room. For real. You guys are athletes. You know what I'm talking about.
That was a speech at the U. University of Miami, for those of you who don't know. He was talking to the cheerleaders behind him holding up signs for Joe. It was weird. It was so weird. So let's parse that. So first of all, what Trump said on the Access Hollywood, as we alluded to earlier, was crass and should not have been said and not everything.
Yeah.
All that. Joe Biden, the former vice president, wants to beat up the current president.
Well, you know, in high school when he was a damn fine athlete, Chad.
I don't know what his athletic prowess was, but I do know that Donald Trump was a pretty fine athlete himself. Now, may not know it today. There was talk he could have gone pro in baseball as a pitcher. He was in many fights and did very well, according to classmates who don't like him but still said he was a good athlete. I don't know what this was about. Why would you, Joe? What is wrong with you?
Well, this is classic Joe.
Oh
right?
My goodness!
You know he's got to keep up the persona. You know he
a tough
rides.
Guy?
He's from Scranton, right? He's a hard scrabble Scranton coal miner. He rides the Acela with his shotgun. He says ridiculous things, and of course, did the media? Because remember, the media is all about. We need civil, respectful discourse.
Sure.
These are fighting words.
This is ruining.
This is not the kind of political speech that we can accept. Can you imagine if Donald Trump said this?
Oh, it would have been all over him on it.
Right, there we go. Another psychopathic episode.
Yeah, they got into it on Twitter. But I can't get over the fact that the most recent vice president was threatening to beat up the president. Can you fathom that?
Here's the other thing. Now, again, Joe is much older than we are, so we do come from a different generation.
Yes, we do.
But you and I both have been in many, many locker rooms.
Yes.
I spent a lot of time playing sports in my youth, and so did you. And I would have to tell Joe, you know what? I heard a lot of talk like that.
Exactly.
And it wasn't from the fat, slovenly, disheveled, uncoordinated guys. It was from a lot of the really, really good players too. So I'm not sure whether Joe was he a Franciscan monk?
I don't know.
But my experience in locker rooms, at public schools and at various different gymnasiums and on the court, on the playing field, I heard a lot of things very, very similar. In fact, even fouler than that.
Yes.
And it wasn't all the bench warmers who were the goobers.
No, it wasn't.
So maybe in his era, that was the case.
I doubt it. And my guess is I heard a lot of those things, but usually you did your thing. You didn't have to talk about, you didn't have to say how great you were. It was shown. You know, he's talking about how he was a pretty darn good athlete. Well, guess what? If you had to talk about it, you probably weren't, most likely.
Sure.
Somebody else would talk about it for you.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to discuss it. So I'm guessing Joe wasn't probably the athlete he thinks he was. He might have been on a team, but I doubt very much he was the star of the team. I don't know. I haven't checked the records, but it's Scranton. Yeah, whatever.
What? By the way, why is he even out there? What is he doing?
2020, baby.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think he regrets completely that he didn't jump in the race
when
he thought he could.
Well, in hindsight, look at the outcome. I'm sure he does regret it.
And I think he thinks he has a shot. Now, he'll be 77 when the next election comes around. Seems unlikely anybody's going to put a 77-year-old up as the candidate.
The Democratic youth movement continues.
Well,
so they're going to have who's going to be their crew? They're going to have Joe up there. Bernie's coming again, right?
Bernie's not getting younger.
Yeah, you've got like the various crypt keepers here that are going to be lining up. And Trump's not young either.
No, Trump's 70 years old.
Everything that I keep hearing, from the Democratic Party is we have the youth. We have the enthusiasm. And the people they put up there are Hillary Clinton, Joe Biden, Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah,
a very youthful, diverse crew, isn't it?
Well, the Republicans have Trump, who's 70, but everybody below him is much younger.
Yeah.
Who was running before. I don't know what's going to happen. I just thought it was weird that Joe was calling out the president.
Does Donna Shalala, is she still the president at the U?
I think she just left,
okay.
But I'm not positive.
Because I was going to say, that may have explained the venue.
It wouldn't shock me if she had some influence on
that.
She was the president, former Clinton advisor. I don't know what she did. What did she do with Clinton? I can't remember now.
Yeah.
Whatever. So
Secretary of something.
Housing and Urban Development, I'm sure. So this past weekend, the youth got to speak up. And I want to play a clip from George Washington University that epitomizes what the youth are talking about with their march. So let me play this because I think you'll be very interested.
Can you define what an assault weapon is?
It is a military-style weapon that is that was originally designed to be used in the military, but is now designed to, I believe, just resemble some aspects of what they would use in the military.
Can you define, just sort of expound on what military-style
is? So it would probably be made out of, like, a different material, like something black, and it would have maybe more expressed features, like the trigger might be larger, or the pad that you rest here might be larger. It could have like those rings around the barrel that like a normal like 12 gauge rifle would have, or 12 gauge shotgun would have.
Anything that would not be a common use in a rifle setting?
Honestly, anything stronger than like a shotgun.
I think it's like you can fire off a bunch of rounds like really fast.
Any automatic weapon that can cause brutal harm to a bunch of people. I mean, when the amendment was written, you had to like take 10 minutes to reload your musket, and that really couldn't damage 50 people in a few minutes. So, yeah, I don't think those should be allowed.
Okay, an assault weapon isn't it when a person gets a gun with an intention of like using it for bad things, or like you can like kill someone with the weapon? I don't know how close that is.
So wouldn't technically like a rock or hands be considered an assault weapon?
No, I wouldn't consider a rock an assault weapon.
But couldn't you kill somebody with it?
I mean, you could. So it is an assault weapon, I guess.
Like, if you're using it to hunt, then it doesn't make sense. Like, an automatic gun, if you're shooting, I don't know, a deer. I don't hunt. I'm actually a vegetarian. But that's not really, like, an efficient way to kill a deer. You're pretty much just making ground beef at that point.
I don't know anything about gun names.
I was supporting Ben again.
Okay, on all guns?
Guns. Yeah, I think, yeah. As long as I hurt people.
Wow.
So that was some George Washington University college students.
Right.
So they obviously have a complete grasp of nothing relevant to anything.
Do you really think that if they did the same survey of pretty much any Democrat in Congress, whether they would have done much better?
So I like the kid who talks about it's special material black. All right. And black is not a material, it's a color.
There was some other thing in there about the essential...
The rings around the barrel.
Right, the laser eludium Pew 39.
One girl talks about being a vegetarian, but she shot skeet as a child, but thinks that automatic weapons shouldn't.
Right, with the the shoulder thing that attaches to the finger thing,
and the rock is an assault weapon.
Then the pointy thing comes out and goes really fast, and then I think Rambo had those other things that explode, like nuclear bullets. also, the gun that Ripley had in those grenade launcher guns, those should definitely be banned.
Definitely.
Right.
Yeah, because they're available right
these
now.
These are clearly subject matter experts.
Well, that's why I think this is college students, so we should obviously listen to the high school students. They even put an 11-year-old on the stage.
Yes.
An 11-year-old, folks. Who has no clue. They all said, all guns should be banned.
Yeah.
We shouldn't, don't kill us anymore. Don't shoot at us anymore. Okay, I can understand the sentiment, but I'm not taking advice from you. I don't care how many people march.
Well, this is why the whole spectacle is just, it's both cartoonish and it's in many ways reprehensible. This is what the left does. So clearly their new strategy is, aha, why didn't we use the children before?
Stupid us.
Nobody will dare criticize.
Especially
the
if they've already been shot at, wearing their army coat. They look like
they're victims. Mm. So it gives them, I love this term, absolute moral authority. They know nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And has anyone in the media, of course not,
no,
asked them questions like this?
Yes.
What do you actually know about guns? Well, I know that the automatic camo barrel shroud bump stock device was funded by Halliburton, and that was used to, I think...
It's illegal now. Trump signed the bump stocks out. Out.
I mean, if you asked any of them, explain the difference between an automatic and a semi-automatic weapon. 90%, no clue.
Well, they... Louder with Crowder went out to a campus and he was talking to people. He said he laid out the weapons from end to end, the handguns down to the AR-15. And he said, these are all fully semi-automatic. Fully semi-automatic. And he said it over and over and over.
Right.
And only one guy said, there's no such thing as fully semi-automatic. It's just semi-automatic.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's like, oh, yeah, I get rid of that.
Right.
And an AR-15. He said, what does the AR stand for, an AR-15? They all said assault rifle, which is not true.
No,
it is not true. Ammolite rifle.
Yes.
That's the company that made it. Not assault rifle. It sounds good, but it's not true. They're all semi-automatic. It means you have to pull the trigger
to
get a bullet.
It's not the weapon that the military uses. No. Not even close. Doesn't have select. But again, so these people, these kids, I'm not opposed to them. They're Americans. Sure. So they can express their views.
Sure.
But
I'm not
gonna
listen
to them.
You're
going to inject yourself, as they now have, they're now these touring celebrities, right? They're mm-hmm. the, you know, the main, the core group that, who's the guy? Hogg?
Hogg, yeah.
You know, he's now this, you know, they love him.
Sure.
And he's this profanity spewing ignoramus. I'm sorry. You know, if you're going to now take the position that people must listen to you, we're on the cover of Time magazine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then I'm going to see whether you are worth listening to, whether you know anything about the subject that you purport to lecture other people about. You know nothing.
No.
And people are using you as mouthpieces for their hoplophobia. Because this is what they want. And they think that since you're children, no one's going to attack you. And by the way, that's the other thing. They're attacking them. No, no. Pointing out that their ideas are incredibly flawed, that they have no factual knowledge base about what they are talking about, is not attacking them. This is called, what does the left always want to have? We want to have a conversation.
Sure you do.
Then let's have a conversation.
Yeah.
Part of the conversation is pointing out where the things that you are saying are absurd, and
yes,
the solutions that you are advocating, to the extent you can even explain what you want other than something must be done, don't
common
work.
Sense gun legislation, Tony.
That's right.
Common sense.
And ask them what that would be.
And every, you know, every late night pundit can tell you what their common sense tells them, which is no guns. That's what they tell you. All these people got up on stage and had this big march, and all the celebrities came out and said, oh, I support this hero for coming out. You're not a hero if you're a celebrity and you're at a march. That doesn't make you a hero, just so you understand. You can't buy a gun. These kids can't buy guns, but yet they know everything about guns, apparently.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. I can't get the item I'm talking about, but I know everything about it because somebody shot one at me. As we did it before. I'm in a car accident. Doesn't mean I know anything about a car.
Yes.
And
look, they do the same thing with adults, right? You know, Gabby Giffords mm-hmm. survived a horrific shooting by a crazy person. And sympathy to her as a person, sounds like a wonderful lady, but that didn't vest her with any special knowledge about gun policy.
Or James Brady.
Of them.
Yeah.
And now, you know, you see these articles with doctors. I saw today that they were mocking Rick Santorum, who said something about CPR. And the thing that I love is that, are you board certified in gun policy? Because, see, the fact that you're a doctor or a dentist or, I don't know, like an endangered species veterinarian, doesn't really give you any special authority on guns.
No.
So it's sort of like the whole, who's the astrophysicist guy that's now?
Neil Tyson.
Yes, right. So expert in his field. Great. Just like Paul Krugman, who's an economist. Does that give Paul Krugman any special insight into, I don't know, public education policy?
No.
So they're not even experts in, but see, they're held up as, how dare you question?
Well, the doctors.
He's a scientist.
But the doctors, because a trauma surgeon can tell you what a bullet does to the body, but it doesn't tell you anything about guns.
Right.
Or the result of a gun.
And really what it's not that you're a doctor. You're a progressive.
Yeah.
You're a progressive advocating for progressive non-solutions. So what does you being a doctor have to do with anything? You could be a sanitation engineer for all I care.
Well, I think we all understand what a bullet does to the body. I don't think we go, ooh, that's probably no big deal. It's a big deal. If it hits a body, it's a big deal, whether it's an animal or a human. So I don't think we need a doctor to tell us it's a bad thing to get shot. I get that. We all get that. Nobody's complaining that that's not true. Stop telling me how to run the country, though.
We have talked many, many times about the complete irrationality of the gun control position. And I always circle back to that when you confront them with, okay, simple hypothetical. If someone is coming into your home armed with a gun intent on murdering you and your family, is it better to, A, have your own gun, or B, not have your own gun? And
their answer is always
not have bad gun.
Yes.
People that think this way, I'm sorry, aren't really capable of having a rational conversation. Mm-hmm. Because this isn't about reason. It's about emotion. It's about animistic fear of object, of black, scary object, right?
Boomstick.
Because I'm sorry. Now, look, we can have all kinds of discussions, and this is a complicated issue in terms of what are the causes of gun violence? What are the socioeconomic factors? But if you're going to sit there and tell me that if you're confronted with someone who's trying to murder you with a weapon, and it's better for you not to have a weapon to defend yourself, then I'm not really sure we can have a conversation, because you're living in some sort of dream world.
You make a very good point, and we're not talking about the school shootings. That's a totally – or public place shootings. If you don't want to have a gun in your house, don't have a gun in your house. But don't tell me I can't have a gun in my house to defend my house. So if that's what we're talking about, and it's usually handguns, and we've talked about this over and over, less than 3% of all shootings are done with long rifles, AR-15s for the scary folks out
there. It's a rounding error.
It's that so few of them happen with long guns. It's always, almost always – A pistol, automatic or semi-automatic. Not automatic. Jeez, I'm as bad as them. Semi-automatic pistol or revolver. That's what it is. Go to Chicago. It's pistols, most likely.
Of course.
D.C. pistols. Houston doesn't pick anywhere you want. It's usually pistols. So and everybody you talk to says, "Well, I don't want to get rid of pistols. I want to get rid of the scary, long, scary rifle with the black."
Right? Because
look
at it. Just look at it, Chad.
It looks scary.
It looks really, really dangerous.
Well, looking scary doesn't make it scary. If I paint fangs on my face, it doesn't mean I actually have fangs. Okay, it doesn't work that way. Things look like what they look like, but that doesn't make them more scary.
And the other part of the debate, and we've talked about this. Ask these people, and I have not heard a single person on the gun control left even attempt to explain this factually, which is take one of your pet recycled proposed solutions. They're always the same.
Mm-hmm.
Expanded background checks.
Common sense.
Eliminate the non-existent gun show loophole. Reduce expanded magazines, right? The whole litany. Take whatever your favorite one is, the one that is going to do the most, and explain. You don't even have explain theoretically how that solution would have prevented and pick your mass shooting. You could go through anyone you want to pick. Adam Lanza, Florida, Columbine, Aurora. Go down the list. Tell me what happened there. What kind of gun was used? What were the circumstances? How did he obtain the gun? What sort of background checks were in place? And explain to me how your solution would have prevented any of it. And the response is always, you want children to die.
No.
Because they can't explain it. And why? Because they will do nothing.
Yeah.
The one thing that will do something, by the way, the government cannot guarantee your safety.
We saw that in Georgia. There
is no magical law. See, this is the other thing. Progressives believe that if only the correct central planners implement the right recipe and give government enough power, the government can stop all the bad things in the world.
They cannot.
Nope, cannot. So the one thing that at least potentially, when some unimaginable horror like this occurs, and they will occur, because there are evil men in the world and mm-hmm. there are crazy people in the world that want to hurt other people. The only thing, in my view, that or at least the best thing to do is what? You arm people at the school or at the theater or at the nightclub and you give them a chance to shoot back. And if the response to that is, well, you might hit innocent people. You're right. You might.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you might miss and he might kill everyone. You're correct. But at least one of the possible scenarios is, or actually multiple possible scenarios is, number one, the guy never shows up because they look for gun-free zones because they ain't stupid.
Yep.
We go to places where we know they don't even have rocks.
Yes.
They just have desks to hide behind.
There's nothing else to get me.
And you might be able, just like the more recent Maryland shooting, stop the guy
mm-hmm.
by shooting him.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I simply cannot wrap my mind around someone who says, nope, prefer to be defenseless.
Well, it's principle. they'd rather have the principle of getting caught and shot than actually stand up and say, no, I don't want to do that. I will have a gun because I want to protect myself. They'd rather be the martyr than to be saved.
The gun makes it worse, except, of course, with my private security detail because, you know, they need them. I mean, good grief.
Well,
somebody might come into my gated community. I have to have someone with a gun.
Somebody said today, you know, when Kennedy got shot, it was a failing of the Secret Service. They didn't disband the Secret Service when that happened. They doubled down and they gave more protection. When Reagan got shot, they had problems. They fixed them. So they don't say, we're going to take it all away because it didn't work
and
this one time.
Yeah, and nobody is making the argument that, well, a good guy with a gun is always going to, it's like Clint Eastwood, he's going to ride it. No one says that.
No.
A good guy with a gun may not succeed 10 times out of 10, 50 times out of 50. This is the nature of this.
Yeah.
There's no guarantee. But would you prefer to have him there or not? And then they'll say, oh, well, it didn't work in Florida. You're right. And you know why? Because they didn't do their job. And you're going to blame the NRA. It's interesting. Have we heard anyone at any of these protests say we're really angry about the failure of both federal, state, and local law enforcement to do anything about this? Not only at the scene when this was going on, but the multiple repeated times that they had the ability to intervene. Oh, and as anyone else pointed out, we haven't talked much about this. Do you know what the Promise program is, Chad?
I do not.
This is the Obama-era idea. Of course, another one of these marvelous, well-intended ideas where we weren't really going to put the dangerous juvenile delinquents on a path to prison because that's just unfair and it lacks compassion. What we're going to do is we're going to avoid that. We're going to allow them to stay within the school community.
Ooh, great.
And that was one of the most cherished and widely implemented policies at this particular high school.
Okay.
So what could possibly go wrong there?
Everything.
It's very similar to the Obama era Department of Education discipline standard, which is, no. We're not going to remove the habitual offenders who disrupt class and are violent because that might be racially unfair. And since we notice that more minorities are getting tagged for this, of course, the question never occurs to them, are more minorities engaging in the behavior that justifies this? No. So we're going to keep them in the classroom.
Yeah.
Right? And by the way, who does that hurt the most, particularly in an urban school where there's more minorities? Huh. It hurts other minorities who are trying to learn. So this backwards thinking about we can't remove – look, it's just too draconian to remove these problem kids. We're going to nurture them, and we're going to keep them around. We're not going to put them on a path to failure. Well, guess what? Some of these kids turn out like Cruz, and they're not only going to fail, they're going to hurt other people. And then you're going to tell me that a new law about expanded background checks is a better solution than maybe having an armed guard who does his job and tries to stop him from murdering people.
Let's talk about the background checks for a second. What in the background checks? What's the expanded background
check? I actually don't know.
Isn't it lifetime now? They go back to when you had record of any kind.
I've never really had anyone coherently explain that as well. What additional information?
What didn't you get already?
You know what? I don't really. Fine. You want to add some more questions?
Sure.
I don't really know what they have in mind. I think largely what they have in mind is something. The other thing I've heard is, you could get it in. You could get a gun in 17 seconds. It's like, wait a minute.
If somebody gave it to you on the black market.
If the information that you are requesting from the person is completed and it goes through the NICS system and it comes back clean, you just want some arbitrary delay? Like, why?
Well, for a handgun, there's already a three-day delay anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, so
or
what do you
days.
Want?
Sorry,
I mean, what's the point? Is there anything else being checked?
No.
Well, we just...
That's the Brady law.
We just want it to be longer because,
because you might want to shoot somebody in anger and we give you 7 days to cool off, the cooling off period. Well, that's great. Okay, fine. But at the end of the 7 days, if I didn't commit a crime, you're still going to give me the gun.
Yeah, but the other thing is that so you think the person who is hell-bent on committing murder and mayhem they're going to, oh, darn it. Gander Mountain's going to make me wait for my gun. I'm thwarted for a week.
I can't do anything for a week later.
I have no ability to get another weapon. This is horrible.
But if somebody out there can tell me what expanded background checks you're looking for, I don't know. Do you want to know that I ate paste as a kindergartner? Okay, I did. Now what? What does that mean? I mean, they want to put the no-fly list writ large on anything they think.
Yeah.
So if you register as a Republican, they'll probably say, right, probably can't have a gun. You know, those things. I think the guy...
Have you ever worn a Tea Party accessory?
Maybe.
I've been
to a Tea Party, but I've never worn a Tea Party accessory.
Do you know anyone who knows someone else who has been to a Tea Party?
We're back to the communists in the 50s. It's ludicrous for people to just blanketly say common sense, expanded something, and somehow that makes any difference. You got to codify this stuff to have any real impact, and nothing... Cruz in Florida, if he couldn't have had a rifle, he'd have had a handgun. If he couldn't have had a handgun, he'd have had knives. He'd have taken bullets and taken the black powder on him and made a bomb.
And that incident demonstrates again that they say, oh, well, you know, this the AR-15 is extra lethal. Actually, it's not a very lethal gun at all. But in terms of rate of fire, given the fact that the police did not go into the school, and I forget how many minutes he had to shoot.
Six.
Does anyone who knows anything about guns knows that if you have a semi-automatic handgun, you can exchange magazines in... Okay, let's say you're...
It's easier.
You're incompetent. It's not only easier. You can 5 seconds, okay? That's an eternity. It doesn't matter. And guess what? The semi-automatic handgun shoots just as fast. One pull of the trigger, one bullet comes out as the black, scary AR-15.
Yes, it does.
So not really going to prevent him from doing anything. That's why the guy at Virginia Tech... only needed two handguns.
Yeah.
He had plenty of time. The guy in Vegas, everyone says, oh, he had bump stocks. The guy, and by the way, I don't care if you want to ban bump stocks. Treat them just like automatic weapons. Remember, a bump stock can be fashioned with a belt. It's simply a mechanism that allows the gun's recoil to simulate automatic fire. But if you want to say, oh, yeah, bump stock did this, he was alone in his hotel room shooting for 11 minutes. He had multiple magazines. Do you think he couldn't have changed out a regular magazine and just shot as a semi-auto?
It didn't change anything. That's the ludicrous part about all this. In that clip I played, the girl said it took 10 minutes to reload a musket. Anybody who took 10 minutes to reload a musket was dead. So they didn't survive and procreate because they were dead. It doesn't take 10 minutes to reload a musket.
The bottom line, and we simply can't, you know, it's like you have to keep repeating these things and it doesn't penetrate. The bottom line about gun control policy is that it will not control guns.
No.
It will not reduce gun violence. The only thing that it will do, and I'm a cynic, so I believe they view this as a feature, is that it will make law-abiding citizens' lives far more difficult, far more complicated, make it less likely that they can obtain a gun to defend themselves, but it will do nothing to prevent criminals, predators, and psychopaths from getting whatever weapon they want. There are 350 million guns in circulation in this country. Now, you can rail about that all you want and rend your garments and say, oh my word, this is the most awful thing, but it is reality. So we should tailor laws to reflect reality and not magical thinking about how we wish the world was.
Well, they just bring up the straw purchase for a second. If I have a gun and I want to sell it to you and not go through the background check,
yes.
Guess what happens? When that gun gets used for something nefarious, even defending your house and you have it, they're coming to me because it's registered to me.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go through the process to make sure the government knows it's with you now and not with me. That's a law-abiding citizen. The non-law-abiding citizen doesn't care, and they're selling the scraped off numbers.
So that's the point, is that the people that want to evade – oh, universal background checks. So Vinny in the alley with
cares.
The panel van.
Doesn't care.
Hey, I'm sorry, man, but we're going to have to run this through the NICS system.
Yeah,
because
they don't care.
You know, no, they're not going to abide by it. And here's the thing. If you want to give your son –
sure.
Or a close friend, your gun, should you be required to run that through a background check?
Probably not.
Again, because if the point is to eliminate the people that are going to do these sorts of crimes, none of them are going to be affected by this in the least.
Nope. 350 million guns, folks. Not all of them are legal.
So we're going through our, you know, the children shall lead the moment. Yeah. This will persist for a while. You know,
so they're no longer useful and they have somebody else to throw up there, that then they'll pull somebody else out. These kids are being used. They're taking their 15 minutes of fame and it will get them nowhere. So we'll see. I don't think anything's going to change. We talked about it a couple weeks ago, how to get rid of guns, and nobody wants to take us up on that. All right. Last topic. Do you want Ann Coulter or Laura Ingraham?
Well, do I want, like, who's going to be more entertaining?
Which clip? I can play both, but I'd like to only play one. Which clip do you want?
Let's do Laura Ingraham.
Okay. Laura Ingraham on the omnibus.
Voters elected Republicans to both houses of Congress and gave them the presidency to shrink government spending and to shake up the system, not expand government and give in to the system. This is like Christmas for Democrats. I mean, domestic spending goes through the roof. Chuck Schumer's like the cat who ate the canary. He gets his pet rail project. Planned Parenthood, totally funded. Meanwhile, Trump gets a fraction of what he wanted. And zero, and I mean zero funding for that big, beautiful concrete border wall.
And now Trump for 2 years talked about a border wall. This omnibus actually prohibits him from building the border wall. So I want to read some highlights here that Rand Paul sent out. He was texting. The omnibus budget was 2,232 pages. Took him over 2 hours to print in his office.
Yes.
Laser printer. I'm sure it wasn't by hand. $5 million for the Vietnam Education Foundation grants. $5.279 million for Commission on Security and Cooperation in Europe.
Wow.
That seems useful.
Yes.
$15 million to USAID for promoting international higher education between universities. Okay. $2.69 million for international disaster assistance. $1.37 million for contributing to international organizations, whatever that is. $9.1 million to promote international family planning and reproductive health. Planned Parenthood gets it all. They get all their money. $7 million promoting international conservation. $10 million for UN environmental programs. That was what money was spent. It goes on and on. The point is, Planned Parenthood got everything they wanted. $1.3 trillion? Is that right? $1 trillion?
Yes. Billion. No, $1.3 billion.
$3 billion. Nobody read it. This is my issue. This happened with Obamacare. Nobody read it before they passed it. I call it the Republicans who voted for it. I call it Donald Trump, who didn't read it when he signed it, said he might hold it up because it didn't have enough for DACA. Like, that was the only reason to vote this.
Yeah, there's a good reason.
Come on, man. This is – you can vote for conservatives, but you can't get conservatism.
No, that's true.
Because they all say one thing.
They're not conservatives.
Well, that's the problem.
I actually blame Trump the least because he's never been a conservative. Now, we've talked about the fact that I've been very pleased by and large by most of the things. Yeah, up to this point, by most of the things that he has done, because he actually has governed in many ways like a conservative. But this is one of the areas where we are now seeing he's not a conservative. But
no.
I'm sorry, Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, disgraceful.
Yep.
Utterly disgraceful. And you know what? You guys deserve to lose the House.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to ensure Democrats ruling this country politically, this is exactly how you do it.
Yeah.
Because Laura Ingraham's correct. Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi are laughing about
this. They should be.
This spends more money than Obama.
Mm-hmm.
So, absolutely. Anyone who wants to criticize this Republican Congress for completely betraying what their alleged principles are,
yeah,
they deserve every sling and arrow that comes their way. It is just, it's just unbelievable. And I actually think that they are going to lose the House now.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you want to suppress, like, what is the point of sending these people there?
They're not going to do what they say they're going to do. They don't hold up to anything. They don't do anything they're supposed to do. Paul Ryan, he was actually a vice presidential candidate under Mitt Romney. And this is what we get? Don't tell me you couldn't get a better deal. You literally gave everything the Democrats wanted and more.
Now, the only silver lining is that military spending has increased. But you know what?
But not by much.
Not by much. It's a complete disgrace.
It's a 12.9% overall increase in spending. The military got 14.2, so it's not even a whole lot more than the overall. I when I read this, and it went through lickety split. It seemed like Obama was at the wheel,
yeah,
because it went through with nobody reading it. Passed in 2 days. They couldn't get Obamacare repealed in months and years, but somehow in 3 days they got this huge spending bill. It's unbelievable. I don't care that the government's going to shut down. I'm okay with that. Are you
absolutely
okay with
that? Absolutely.
Shut her down, baby. I don't need this. This is a joke of a bill. Well, a law. It's a joke. It is a joke. You don't blame Trump as much. I blame Trump completely.
Well,
he didn't read it.
Let me put it this way. I blame him, but I'm not surprised because
this is a guy that
anyone who was paying attention should have known. Look, and he's been doing pretty good so far. He has no fixed ideological principles that make him a conservative.
No.
So to expect what you require, you would think, are the people that actually claim to be conservatives who are crafting this. The president didn't draft this.
No, that's true.
Okay?
So
the people that are actually drafting the legislation who control Congress. Now, I understand the Senate, it's on a razor's edge. There's limited things that can be done there. But did you see any effort by Paul Ryan or Mitch McConnell to use their weight and say, this isn't going in? I mean, if you can't defund, and this is not even the most important thing, but it's symbolic. If you can't defund Planned Parenthood in this environment, when you control the White House and both branches of Congress, then you know what? I'd actually prefer just go ahead and increase the spending for Planned Parenthood. It's a joke.
You say that they couldn't have, they should have done something. They are in charge in the House.
I know.
Ryan never,
the House
this
originally,
never should have gotten
that's correct.
Approved. Ever. Forget the Senate. Never should have gotten out of the House. This is unbelievable to me that he's standing up there preening like, we did a good job. You did a lousy job. You both did a lousy job.
I want to see, I mean, and look, Paul Ryan, you know, used to be a guy. In fact, you know, there's the famous video of him confronting President Obama and that meeting over Obamacare. I don't know what's going on with him, but I really want to see him go on a show. He won't.
No.
Like Laura Ingraham's.
He won't.
And try to defend the pork and just the nonsense, you know, 10 million for social justice mimes or whatever. It's ridiculous. So, yeah, and you're right. Rand Paul is absolutely – look, Rand Paul – is a kook on foreign policy.
Yes.
But Rand Paul actually, and just like his dad, on domestic spending issues is dead on.
Oh, yeah.
Congress is broken, but more than Congress, and you know, usually when people say Congress is broken, what they mean is nobody can get along. I actually like the fact that they don't get along. That's not the brokenness. The brokenness is on this issue, Republicans are not conservatives. They are indistinguishable from Democrats. And yeah, why are you there? And you know what? You're probably not going to be there.
No.
Nancy Pelosi is going to be wielding the speaker's gavel once again.
Yes.
Not because of kids yammering about gun control, because you have alienated the people that put you there. So good luck in the midterms, but this is, you cannot overstate how bad this bill is.
Horrible. Tom Cotton didn't vote for it. A couple of Republicans didn't vote for it. Surprisingly, Cory Booker didn't vote for it.
Oh, you know why?
Because they didn't have DACA.
No, but here's the thing. This is a perfect scenario for them, okay? So they get everything they want. They know it's going to pass, and they can make a symbolic protest. Yeah, there's no DACA. Plus, we just hate the Trump and Fuhrer, so we're not going to vote for anything that he likes. So, I mean, you want to talk about them just belly laughing behind closed doors at the clown car that is Paul Ryan's caucus and Mitch McConnell's caucus, again, with some notable exceptions like Tom Cotton, Mike Lee, and the rest of them.
Yeah.
But you know what? You guys deserve whatever political fate is going to be handed to you now, because there's no reason to keep you there.
No, there's none. I'm questioning, were they ever conservative? Was Paul Ryan ever a conservative? Or did he just play one on TV? Because when the chips are down, you went Democrat.
Well, it's
progressive Democrat.
Here's the thing. Politics is, you know, I don't align with people that expect that, you know, everything that we demand must be implemented, because guess what?
That's not
you
reality.
Can't do it.
No.
But in this environment, you will never, almost never be in a better, in other words, you have the leverage. Mm. You control the agenda. And
should.
So if you can't find a way to make this at least palatable, okay, we don't even need, this isn't even, well, it's mediocre. This is terrible.
Yeah.
Chuck Schumer couldn't, if Chuck Schumer wrote this bill himself,
it wouldn't have been this good.
Yeah, other than, you know, funding, you know, the Castro brothers or something, you couldn't have made this worse.
No. And that's the problem. You couldn't have made it worse. And they went out of their way to make it as bad as they possibly could. And I don't understand.
I'm sorry, Donald. It doesn't help. It doesn't make me feel better for you to say, I'm never going to sign another bill like this. You shouldn't have signed this one. What?
Yeah, why'd you sign this one? I don't understand.
I promise you, the next time that you send up something this profligate and absurd that's actually worse than Barack Obama, I'm not going to sign it. Oh, that's good to know.
But I go back to, nobody read it in its entirety and still voted on it. Shouldn't that be a rule? We have rules for everything else in the Senate and the House. Shouldn't reading what you're voting on be part of it?
You know what? It's 2,000 pages. Nobody can read it.
Well,
so that's why they're never going to have a rule that you have to read it. Does it really need to be 2,000 pages?
No, I doubt it.
Does it need to be 100 pages? I don't know.
I don't know what's in it because it's 2,232 pages. And I don't have time to read it. But I'm not in Congress. It's not my job to read it. It's my job to live with it, but it's not my job to read it. Their job is to read it. Somebody put it in there. Special interest, you know, an aide. Somebody put it in. If you can't read it, and Laura Ingraham went on her show saying, break it down into chunks. Pass this one, pass this one. You want to get it all in one fell swoop, that's fine. But Ryan had control of the Congress of the House. He could have done it in any way he wanted.
And by the way, another point is that if you're going to pass this bill while you're cutting taxes, then you deserve every amount of criticism that is an insane policy. See, mm-hmm. Here's the thing. I agree with tax cuts. But you can't cut taxes and then goose domestic spending.
Yeah. Where's it going to come from?
Exactly.
Deficit borrowing.
So I am absolutely with anyone who doesn't like the GOP from the left, who's a progressive and says, you guys are the worst hypocrites in the world. You've cut taxes and yet you have driven spending to infinity and beyond. You can't do those two things and claim that you're an economic conservative.
No, you can't. You're right. You're 100% right. And we now have to live with this turd of a bill. Pass the poop, everybody.
Well,
pass the poop.
We're apparently at a point that it's going to continue until it can't continue. Right?
Well,
in other words, we're just hurtling Thelma and Louise style towards that cliff. Nobody cares. The Democrats are never going to do anything.
No.
And apparently neither are the Republicans.
Nobody's going to change it. They all want their peace. So that's what I had, Tony. You said you had something about driving you wanted to push along.
Oh, yes. There was a few vexing driving moments this week that sort of – actually in the last month. And so I like to occasionally remind people of the, you know, sort of the universal laws of driving because people don't seem to understand these things. And so this is one that crops up. I've mentioned it somewhat before, but – if you are turning left at an intersection where there's no traffic signal, there's just a stop sign, and the road that you're on...
Is it a four-way stop?
It's basically like a T-intersection.
Okay.
And you're turning left onto a fairly busy rush hour street. You need... Well, here's the question. I will pose it in a Socratic. We'll do a Socratic
okay.
method, Chad.
Great.
Is it best? Is it the best policy as you are attempting to turn left again on a very broad thoroughfare mm-hmm. with sufficient space for I don't know the Queen Mary to fit? Is it a good prudent driving practice as you are attempting to turn left onto very congested traffic to pull your car as far to the right as possible such that no other cars who are attempting to turn right can get past you? Is that what one would recommend as a sound automotive practice?
Probably not. I've been on some back roads where it's very narrow, so getting far to the right really isn't getting you more than 6 inches.
So, again, the scenario is you have enough space to drive an entire army division past. See, when you have that ability...
Did this happen on Sunday?
No, this has happened to me multiple times. It's actually when I leave from work because I go down an alley,
okay.
and then I go onto a street, and I have to turn right
okay.
with traffic,
sure.
and inevitably, there is someone who it wants to turn left against traffic. Mm. And instead of forming a second lane, there's an informal turn lane in one direction and another. It's very simple. And then all of the people like me that want to go on their way and turn right and don't have to wait,
mm-hmm.
Now we're stuck behind, I'm sorry, Mr. Magoo or Mrs. Magoo. And here's the other thing. the people that invariably do this, they then have they're like the field mice, right? They have the shyness, no, the timidity of a field mouse, and we can't. Oh, wait a minute! I see a car on the. I better not pull out, and so you wind up sitting there for cycles of the moon. As in fact, I have taken to. I don't even look in either direction. I look straight ahead, and what I do is I count the amount of time that lapses between passing cars. So I'll start my clock up 1,000, 2,000. And it's still not turning It's not safe because the Amish buggy that is 700 yards away might have a nitrous booster that will collide with my car. And so we sit.
I know where you work. There's no Amish buggy there.
And we sit and we sit and we sit some more. And it's just unfathomable to me that you would not understand that not only not you should turn, you need to, if you don't, as I said before, if you don't proceed into the intersection, you will never get, we will, and you know what I'm often tempted to do? I am often tempted to pull to the left of this person and then put my right turn signal on. And then
Is it the same person every time?
It's usual. Well, there's a couple of usuals. And then look at them and kind of smile and say, we shall now be here together for all eternity.
Wow.
Because you can't go and I can't go. See what you have produced?
Wow.
So that I think is a fairly simple.
You've got three solutions.
Here, I even do this. Okay, if you're on a one lane in each direction road, mm-hmm. and again, it has to be sufficiently wide.
Sure.
But this is a main drag where I work. Mm-hmm. And there's a spot on that road where I have to turn left against oncoming traffic. And there's no signal.
Right.
And so what do? I automatically pull my car, and traffic is traveling at, 20 miles an hour. Yeah. It's a busy downtown area. I pull my car literally, so it's probably 6 inches over the center line. I'm not impeding anyone coming the other way. But you know what it does do? It allows all the other cars that don't want to turn left where I'm turning left to keep going on their way. That seems like a courteous thing to do.
It does.
Doesn't it?
It does seem courteous.
Is that a difficult thing?
No, not
but
at all.
Does anyone do that? No, because, guess what? I need to turn into the Shell station. And if 1,400 cars need to wait behind me for, I don't know, 7 light cycles, whatever.
What do I care? I'm retired. I don't care. So you got three solutions, in my opinion. The first one is find a different way to leave work.
No, there is none.
There's no better way?
No.
Okay. Second one is petition the township to change that to no left turns at that intersection.
That's not going to work either.
And the third is probably try to get a light, but I think that's bad.
One of them like a deputy? I could become a deputy.
You could get a crossing guard uniform and stand there and direct people
like,
out.
Just put a boot on their car.
Sure.
But I'd have to move it out of the right-hand side of the lane.
Well, if you said it's the same offenders regularly, then you should boot all their cars.
It is a very, very common problem.
So you're saying it's multiple people doing the same wrong thing?
They'll do the same thing. They all pull as far right as possible and then try to turn left.
Sure, that makes sense.
Why?
Are they driving large vehicles that they think they can't turn?
It doesn't matter if they're driving a unicycle. Just don't do that.
Seems like a problem, I think.
And so the second thing I just wanted to say in terms of, how do we evaluate sort of circumstantially who we know is going to – how do we profile – worst drivers.
You just said some bad words. You're profiling.
I love profiling. And so the one thing that occurred to me, and there are many, many signs of automotive impairment, but one of the main ones is people that constantly use their brakes. And I noticed this because I actually saw something the other day that I don't think I've ever seen before. In fact, it made me quizzical because I was turning out of a department store parking lot. It was at a light. It is flat. Mm-hmm. It's flat. There was a person in front of me who was also turning left. And this person turned left, and now we're not going uphill or downhill. And somehow, and I think this defies the laws of physics, they were on their brake the entire time for the half-mile stretch. And I'm thinking, how is it even possible? Their car shouldn't even be moving. And I thought, you know what? Their brake lights must be they're on all the time.
They're driving 2 feet, aren't they?
Because they can't be... They can't actually be moving forward on a flat 35-mile-an-hour road and still stepping on their brake because maybe they've suffered a stroke or I don't know. But no, because when they actually got up to the light, and it turned green for a moment, the brake lights went off. Like, oh my word.
They let it idle through.
We've released the brake.
That's somebody using 2 feet, don't you think? That's somebody using their foot on the brake and one left foot on the brake and right foot on the
gas. I was marveling at this because, again, it almost defied Newtonian physics that their car was still going forward and yet they were braking. And there was no one in front of them.
Could they see over the dashboard?
I don't know. I mean, they may have feared.
That's a sign right there. If they can't see over the dashboard, they shouldn't be driving.
You never know when a wild caribou herd might like run out onto the road.
Because we live in wild caribou country.
you just don't know what you have to plan for. But I was kind of amazed that they were. In fact, I wanted to pull alongside and say, how have you managed to do that?
Could you have walked faster than they were driving?
No, they were going, you know, like 26.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, a prudent 26 and a 35. On a clear afternoon.
Clear afternoon, so it wasn't a snowy day or anything.
You know, you just never know. Meteor strike or something like that, or a giant sinkhole could open up, and so you got to be ready to stop.
See, I think there's two types of people. Those who are inspirational and those who are confirmational. And what I mean is...
Well, that sounds very fancy.
Ooh, it is. So when you're driving down the road and somebody wants to make a turn, if they put the turn signal on after they started making the turn, that's confirmational. Buddy, I already knew you were turning. If you put it on beforehand to let people know maybe I should slow down instead of hitting you in the butt, that's inspirational. So there's people out there.
Wait, but why is it inspirational?
Because I'm inspired that you're going to go somewhere. You're inspired you're going to turn. Confirmational means you already know you're turning because you're in the turn.
See, when I heard inspirational, I thought like, oh, you're an inspiration.
No, not an inspiration. Like, don't give him too much credit.
You know how to merge. I'm inspired. I feel better about humanity.
My father is confirmational. Only confirmational. He never actually, and then he leaves it on. If it doesn't go off automatically, it's still on. So right. He changes lanes. That's my father. If you're following him, that's my dad. But my brother will talk to you all the time about this. I followed somebody on Sunday. They turned into a restaurant. Now, I put the brakes on and stopped, then turned and then put the turn signal on.
Yeah.
Why? You were already stopped. I knew you were stopped and you started to make the turn before. I mean, the turn signal was on in the parking lot because he didn't turn it on soon enough.
Well, it was just, he felt like he was just kind of doing it's a courtesy. Like,
well, that's what I mean.
I'm telling you what I just did.
Confirmation of what you were already doing. I don't like that.
Yeah,
I want
so
you to let me know in
let's
advance.
Let's try to work on, you know, these small little things that can improve everyone's, just their wellness, right?
Yes.
Make
yes.
everyone happier.
I know how to make
so
you happier.
Simple. What?
Don't have anybody else on the road.
I like having other.
Well, you like somebody you can pass.
Yes, exactly. Who am I going to pass? That's
you
no
want somebody,
fun.
You want somebody in the right lane and the left lane completely clear at all times so that you can pass. Feel like you're doing something.
I'm perfectly content to have someone in the left lane with me going just as fast as I'm going.
Jockeying for position.
I'm not envious of their position ahead of me. As long as you want to keep rolling along and you're not tapping your brakes, you're not eating a Danish.
I don't have to look at my radar detector because you're already doing it.
You're rolling onto the rumble strips. Excellent. I am a very gracious, understanding driver, and I'm really just trying to help people achieve their potential.
I feel that from your discussion here. I feel that you're really trying to help people.
This is sort of a...
You're giving.
I am.
Like that.
I am. I'm trying because they're not aware.
No.
They're not aware of their their status with other drivers. And so...
Knowing is the first step.
Right. They don't know what they don't know.
Right.
So
you're helping them.
Maybe I should put like one of those like cop lights on my car.
Well, that's probably illegal, but you should probably put on if you
don't know
how to drive. I'll
see people all the time that have those the grill mounted.
Oh, really?
Lights. Yes.
For like fire police or
yeah, some guy the other day who was like driving some kind of Mitsubishi, and I passed him, and he put on his grill lights as if I was going to think he was an undercover police officer.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, so
nice to do that.
So those are just some some two kind of vexing issues that I would like America, in particular Central Pennsylvanian drivers, to work on.
Yes,
and maybe we'll report back from the field and see.
I doubt very much anything's going to change, but I hope for your sake it does because I worry about your blood pressure.
No,
sometimes.
No, it's actually my blood pressure is fine. It's just more sadness.
It's just sadness
for the world. Yes.
Well, you gotta cross the bear there. I guess your burden is the world. Mine is much smaller. Yours is the world. So we'll leave it with that. I'm Chad.
I'm Tony.
Good night.
Tree Production.